Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go, gentlemen.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yeah, start the show. Quit all the playing.
We are ready to get the show started. What? Don't adjust the dial, American. Here
yes,
we go.
Sir.
Yes, sir. You heard the signature. You are officially talking sports with the 12th man. I am your host, Andre Peterson. Once again, just trying to make sure that my guys are ready to roll. And we always like to check in with them like we always do. Today, of course, is Monday, April the 11th. So we're kind of kicking it off here. Gentlemen, we've got like, what, 20-something days left for the draft. It's exciting times. But let's kick it in.
16 to be exact.
There it is. Oh, 16. Yeah, I had a feeling that was going to come out from Mr. Rob Core. how you feeling, Rob? Start with you, Rob. How you feeling this evening, sir? If you're ready to roll.
Man, here. Doing great, man. Had a great workout today. Got a couple of runs in. You know, got my 200 push-ups again, trying to get fit. Especially after eating all of the delightful food I had over the weekend at the French Quarter Festival.
I always like to just kind of throw that in there. That's all right. Let's kick it out. Mr. JQ, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I'm good. You know, I heard that the weekend was made for Michelob's, but it's a Monday, my day. You know, go back to town with y'all for a little bit there. I'm good, man. How you doing?
Hey, that's good stuff right there, man. I love it, making a little signature, man. A little. I like the little reference there. But as we always like to do, we want to show our love.
Michelob, make sure you send us your check for that sponsorship.
I know, right?
I was going to say, man, we were going to talk about FanDuel earlier, man. But, you know, I don't have that quite yet, man. Let's have some fun with that. gentlemen, let's kind of kick this off and talk about how the – folks in America can definitely reach out to us if you want to call into the show. That number is always 424-243-9519. We are in the Twitter space. If you go put in at the number 12, then THMAN Sports, you will find us in that arena. And then last but not least, we are on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/12thmansports or if you put in Talking Sports with 12 Men, you will find us as well. So, gentlemen, not to kind of bring you on the show, I do want to just throw this out there, and obviously our prayers and whatever goes out to the Saints family as much as I'm a Falcon fan. It's just a senseless tragedy about Will Smith, and I know, Rob, you've been very some things you want to – I want to kind of start off with you about that because it's kind of just a tragic situation too. I don't know if you want to kind of talk about that real briefly because we definitely want to send our condolences to the family and obviously to the Saints Nation as well.
Yeah, obviously it's a situation that the investigation is still ongoing and more details are slowly coming out. But, you know, I don't want to get a whole lot into the details. Prayers just definitely go out to Will Smith's family, of course, his wife and three kids, a beautiful family. As a matter of fact, the Saints were getting ready to hire him as an intern to be an assistant coach. And he was getting ready to go to law school, so it just seemed like he had a lot of things that was going for him. And actually, Will Smith and his wife was enjoying the French Quarter Festival on Saturday, just like 90% of New Orleans and tourists from all around the world, and went out and had a nice meal and then got into a fender bender. And a fender bender is not supposed to lead to a killing, and it's just a senseless tragedy. We got to get guns off the streets in the city. You know, I hate to get political on the show and talking about race and things of that nature, but I just feel the lead to do it. I mean, we have to get guns off the inner city streets in urban America, here in New Orleans, Chicago, Detroit, Philadelphia, whatever city you want to name. We have to get guns off the streets. I mean, we got police officers in England that don't even carry guns. So the killer that killed Will Smith, and I'm sure Will Smith got out of the car all swole and everything like that, but it still should not lead to a killing, and it's just a senseless tragedy. Obviously, you know, my wife and I had an amazing weekend at French Quarter Festival, and then to wake up and to hear that news on Sunday morning was just heartbroken. And obviously, the whole city of New Orleans is still mourning this senseless tragedy. So the city is still mourning over the situation. So it's just horrible.
JQ, you want to add to that, sir?
Yeah, I mean, echoing everything he just said, you know, it also hits for me as well, because he's a Buckeye. I always be a Buckeye.
Yeah.
Just tough. And the details of, you know, they said he basically got shot in the back. So even if he got out of the car, you know, he was returning to his car. And to have that happen over, you know, a fender bender is just, it's so unfortunate. And I just don't feel like, if not now, when, you know, we talk about this and it happens far too often. And we feel like the one we talk about now will be the one to change everything, and it just never seems to work out that way. And I'm hoping that this will be the one. But, you know, like you said, prayers to the Smith family, Saint Nation and Buckeye Nation as well. Just a senseless tragedy.
Yeah. Yep. Like I said, you two definitely nailed it on the head. So we're not going to go too much deep in that. I know we'll do some latest a little later on in the show too. But definitely want to talk about that since it's kind of relevant in the sports world as we continue. But, just kind of a tragic situation. And we hope that this can be, like we talked about, it's kind of a turning point for sure. All right, gentlemen, kind of switching gears here, and let's kind of talk some NBA here. And it looks like the Golden State Warriors, they are on the track, and they have tied the Chicago Bulls at 19-95-96 team. And they hit 72 wins. So I guess let's kind of kick it off with you, Rob, your thoughts about this momentous occasion. I mean, do we think there's any doubt about this or anything you want to kind of add to the Warriors and this kind of dream season that they're actually having right now, sir?
Well, I think it's inevitable that they will beat Memphis and break the Chicago Bulls record and and get this 73 win. I mean, you have to just give credit where credit is due. What an amazing season. And you look at this Golden State roster, we're just looking at it on paper, you wouldn't think that this team has the roster of a team that should be winning 73 games. I think that just goes to show you how amazing Stephen Curry is and the type of season that he had last year. And he just seemed to have even gotten even better this season. It's amazing. NBA record for most three-pointers in the season. I mean, a guy can shoot it from 30, 35 feet out with ease. And, I mean, a lot of times he's coming down trading threes and other teams are going down scoring twos, and it's just eventually it just catches up with you. So what a great chemistry. You watch this team play amazingly well together. They move the basketball, and they're a better defensive team than a lot of people give them credit for as well. And they play a lot of small ball. I mean, you watch this team play Draymond Green a lot of time as the five-man on the floor, and he might be all but about 6'8", but he's tough as nails. He's got a great basketball IQ. He's also a great passer. Just a phenomenal season. I mean, you can have the debates all day long about who's better, Bulls or Warriors, but you still have to give this team a lot of credit.
Second round pick. Go ahead, JQ, your thoughts.
Yeah, and the other piece of that is you could almost make an argument that, you know, outside of McCollum, that Curry might be the most improved player this year, which is just ridiculous considering that he won MVP last year and is a hands-on lock to win it again this year. And he's just making people forget about the fact that Russell Westbrook is just a walking triple-double at this point. He scored a triple-double today against the Lakers in 18 minutes. I mean, he's just been phenomenal, but he has no chance at Curry, and that's just a testament to him and Green and that team. But real quick, you know, I think this is worse for the rest of the NBA this year, and this is why. Because I thought they had blown their chance when they had the meltdown against the Timberwolves. If they had failed to get to at least 72 wins and match this Bulls record, I think there might have been – I'm not saying they would have lost. I'm just saying there might have been a shadow of a doubt creeping in their mind of, we said this is our goal and we didn't hit it. Well, does that mean we can't win the championship again, you know, as our other goal is to go back-to-back? So them getting to this point, if they get to 73, I'm not going to write it down yet because they struggled with Memphis a couple of days ago. They beat them by a point in Memphis. And the losses, you know, at home to Boston is not terrible, but you would think they would be Boston at home. You would never think they would lose to the Timberwolves. So I'm not ready to write it down yet, but them at least tying Chicago, I think, is just bad news for everybody else this year.
Yep, good calls, guys. I know, and it's funny because my wife is texting Curry. She's excited about Steph Curry, so apparently she's on that bandwagon. Yeah, she's from California, too, so a lot of love for Curry, like we talked about. Warriors have been phenomenal. Rob, I like your points about how you talked about, you know, just the team and a lot of the parts have been kind of – it's been a perfect season. They haven't had to worry about any type of distraction. It feels like they re-signed Draymond Green, and the ship has just kept rolling, man. So it's just been an amazing thing as well. We'll see if the Warriors can actually pull it off. I was impressed with too, because they got the Spurs too. That was one game that you were kind of thinking about, man, are they going to kind of, you know, hit that little dip like you talked about, JQ, but they just kept it going. And that was huge momentum for them going into the playoffs. And we'll see if they are going to hit their goal of, you know, coming that back-to-back champion. So right now they are the team to beat until we talk about a couple things too as well, guys. But, all right.
Yeah. I mean, that team stays healthy. I mean, they're, to me, locked to win the NBA title. They're healthy through the playoffs.
What do you think about that, JQ? You agree?
I don't know if I don't know if I would call them a lot, but they might be the closest thing to a lot since we've had since. Well, I don't want to
go ahead
and
say it, dude. They're a lot.
No, they're not an absolute lot. But they're pretty close though. I mean, you gotta give credit where credit's due. They're pretty close, but they have these games like this, right, where they lose to the Timberwolves, and I wonder if they play somebody, you know, that's worth their salt. They can't have that game they give away, and you know it doesn't happen a lot because of course they only have 9 losses, but when they do things like that, sometimes they get a little wobbly, but I wouldn't bet against them, just put it that way. If I had money to lay on it, I wouldn't make any money because the odds probably aren't even worth betting on the Warriors this year because you won't win any money. But, you know, they're as close to a lock as I can say a lock is.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm saying
wow.
that, and I would love to see the Cavs or the Spurs win it all, but I just don't see it. I just see the Warriors as being too strong, and it's hard for teams to just match up with them with that small ball. And then it's hard for to find another team that can hit the three ball as well as they can too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got to slow it down. You got to slow it down, and their Achilles heel is the turnovers. Like you said, they're a good defensive team. We all know they can score, but they let people in games and they give away games by turning the ball over too much. So that's something we got to watch in the playoffs. That's the one bugaboo they have that they really haven't been able to fix.
I'll say this too, gentlemen. I think it's interesting too because Steve Kerr actually played on the team, if I'm not mistaken, guys, and you can quote me on that too, Rob. Then he played on the team that was part of that win streak as well. So ironic that he is now coaching this squad right now. So I just kind of wanted to kind of keep that as an interesting piece as well because, you know, he probably was on the squad. I mean, it's like, hey, this is what we're doing. And it's just kind of amazing how kind of that history kind of comes into play too, man. So. It's kind of like
lineage.
A perfect storm, if you will, Jai. Yeah, go ahead, yeah. So,
it's like lineage,
ahead,
right? You know, he played with Jordan, and then he played, people forget it, he won 2 more titles with San Antonio. So you're talking about that Phil Jackson Pop school of coaching and, you know, being around those great players. I mean, it shouldn't really shock us that he's doing it, given that, you know, he's a smart guy. Like you say, he's been around winning pretty much his whole career, and he's obviously learned at the doorstep of 2 very good coaches. So, you know, hats off also to Steve Kerr. If you read that article on him, he really went through a lot with his back that didn't come out until, you know, recently. That ESPN article was really good on him, what he went through with his back. So, you know, shout out to Steve Kerr because he's going through worse.
I had a chance to see that, too. And it also helps that he's got Steph Curry, too, because Steph Curry also made Luke Walton look like a great coach, too.
True indeed. Great players. Speaking of Jordan, guys, the universal argument, Kobe or Jordan? I'm going to let you kind of set this up, Rob, because I want to see where you're going with this because I've got some options. But set the stage for this really quickly because I know I kind of have a feeling where JQ's going to go. But, Kobe or Jordan? Go ahead, Rob, set it up.
Well, I mean, this is a great barbershop kind of conversation right here, Jordan versus Kobe. But to me, it's not as close as a lot of people think it is, in my personal opinion. I think clearly it's Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was the leader of 6 NBA championships, and he was the best player on all 6 of those NBA championships. And you look at, obviously, he came into the league a little bit more seasoned than Kobe did. Kobe came out of high school, so it's probably not fair to compare their rookie seasons. because Kobe came out of high school. Jordan came out of 3 years in North Carolina being coached by Dean Smith. And so it's probably a little unfair, but he did, you know, come in the league, you know, kind of lighten it up from the scoring standpoint right away. And so you look at the overall career, and also you have to include the six NBA titles. And also, you know, being the MVP of all six of those NBA finals. Kobe, no disrespect, one of the greatest that ever played the game. I give credit where credit is due, even though I wasn't a fan for most of his career. But I have actually enjoyed his retirement party this season, you know, seeing how the league has been treating him. And even here in New Orleans on Friday night, I mean, the ovation that he got was very tremendous and I think well-deserved. In his last game in New Orleans on Friday night, the fans gave him an outstanding salute. It was incredible, sellout crowd. And but, yes, I mean, the NBA, I think, is even Shaq has admitted to being jealous of the farewell tour that Kobe is getting this season. But Kobe has five championships, and obviously that's another great measurement in his career. But you got to look at three of those titles where Shaq was the best player and the most dominant player in the league on three of those championships, where Kobe was actually a Robin to his Batman. And so I think that's where you got to look at the difference between Jordan and Kobe, in my opinion.
JQ. Did JQ drop? Hold on.
No, I'm here.
I think JQ, man. Okay, go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, man, you got to get quiet, man. We're not trying to bash you.
No. What I was getting ready to say is this is just an argument from dudes in the barbershop who just like to argue, because there's really no argument to be made. Because it's Michael Jordan. I mean, come on. I love Kobe Bryant. Everybody that knows me or listens to the podcast knows I'm a Lakers fan. But come on. And with the part you're missing, too, is when he was retiring, I put that in air quotes because I think he was secretly suspended. But the universal opinion is held that he would have won those 2 years, too, as well. So, you know, in people's minds, like, he had
very
six.
True.
Yeah, but most of us think he would have had eight, you know, if we're being honest. At worst, seven if they only lost one. So, I mean, and plus the impact of his game on the game, and then putting Nike on the map to spin it off to his own brand that they all excited to wear, still wear his brand. It's just too much. I mean, Kobe's fantastic, but Michael Jordan is Michael Jordan, man. I don't even think it's as close as people try to make it up. People just like to argue.
Wow.
I hope one of our biggest followers of Talking Sports with the 12th Man, Roger Gaines. I hope you're listening to the show tonight.
Oh, I knew I was coming. I knew it was coming. You know, it takes a very big person, JQ, to be a Laker fan and actually admit that too, because, you know, me and Robert are kind of the same, because we feel like it's too much as far as Kobe. Now, like you said, like Rob said, respect the heck out of Kobe. He's been a great ambassador for the game. But I've always felt like Kobe has patterned his game after Jordan. It just seems like Jordan came first and everything. He kind of patterned it. And that's not a knock. It's just more or less that's just kind of – and he's done some good things. There's actually a website that actually compared Kobe and Michael. It's kind of head-to-head everything. I don't know if you saw that, guys. You probably looked at that too. But very interesting because, you know, Kobe's played in like – yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, thank you.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I thought you were saying. Go ahead. I'll come in after you. Go ahead.
But it's just more or less because it had, you know, Kobe played for like 20 NBA seasons. Michael Jordan played 15. And like you said, it kind of goes and it just shows you. Now, Kobe's had five more years than Jordan, but still Jordan has a lot of statistical advantages over Kobe, a lot of things. And this is not bash Kobe. This is still out of respect because, you know, obviously Kobe, he's had five more years. He's got 18 All-Star games versus Michael Jordan's 14. And then you kind of go back because all the awards, you know, season MVP, Michael Jordan 5, Kobe 1, finals 6-2. You know, Kobe's been on more first teams and whatnot. But the one thing that I think that kind of separates Michael Jordan that makes him more of a complete player is the fact that he's, you know, he's averaged a lot more points per game in the finals and then the regular playoffs. He has been substantially better. And also defensively, Michael Jordan has been a lot better player and Kobe, and obviously not defensive first team, but everything else as far as steals, as far as blocks, Kobe hasn't had the chance to be in the top categories as Michael Jordan has. Not, like I said, not a knock on Jordan, but just kind of you're looking at the statistics as far as that too. So I'm not going to bore everyone out there as far as every single stat, but it's been pretty interesting to kind of compare them from that, you know, vantage point. Once again, not a knock on Kobe at all. It's just more or less that you kind of see how great Michael Jordan really was. And, you know, I know Kobe kind of has him in total points right now, but obviously if he's played in the league for five more years, he would have that as well too. But it's just kind of amazing to kind of see that. So I digress.
And he shoots every time he gets the ball.
Oh,
who's that, Kobe?
Let's not get carried away. And Kobe didn't play all that much the first year, and he's also missed this year. Yeah, like come on now. Let's not get outlandish with the Kobe hate. And they absolutely stole one of his MVPs that they gave to Nash. They stole that from him. I love seeing Nash, but come on. They stole that MVP from him, and you know it. You know it deep down inside.
You get revved up, America.
But the other piece of it is there's a clip, I forget which website did it, where they show Michael Jordan executing a series of moves in a play, and then they come right behind it with Kobe doing it in a play. And, I mean, it is identical to where they are on the block, the head and shoulder fakes, the up and unders, the fadeaway jumper. Yep. I mean, you watch it, and it's not like it's one or two plays. Like, it goes for, like, 3 or 4 minutes of Jordan doing it, and then Kobe, like, on the same part of the court doing the same exact move. I mean, it's uncanny. So I can't put him over Jordan when he's tried. I mean, he's clearly put his whole game behind him. And, you know, if you want to talk rings of being, if not the important cog in your team, but one of the more important cogs in the team, he's got 5 and Jordan's got 6. And 6 is still better than 5. And I know Robert Horry has, like, 11 or 7 or whatever it is. But still, he wasn't the focal point of the team. So don't get to writing and calling and talking crazy. You know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We're not trying to bash Kobe at all. Like I said, I'm telling you honestly, JQ, the reason why we would hate so much is because we have this one guy, no offense, Roger, he just loved Kobe. He was like, Kobe was like the second truth. And we're like, dude, he got all his moves from Jordan. It's okay to put him up there. He's a great player. Yes, you know, it's probably Jordan 1, Kobe 2, whatever. But that's just because he just took his moves from Jordan, and that's not a hate. He just felt that way. So, you know, that's all. I mean, no.
You swear Kobe is the greatest of all time.
I'm not going to take it that far.
But anyway, we're having a lot of fun here. So, like I said, you know, we're not hating on the Lakers by any means. You guys have had multiple championships. So, you know, like I said, just give us one as a Hawk fan. It's kind of disappointing. But whatever. You guys have been successful, and you guys will be successful because the league wants that, man. The NBA wants that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I digress.
Well, I still hate the Lakers, so I'm going to go ahead and say that, but I respect
them. Oh, here we go.
Okay. As long as you don't let the glare off the championship rings, you know, distract you, it's okay.
Hey, next topic.
Oh, my God. Okay. Sound like your boy. Anything you want to talk about, latest on Will Smith, Rob? Anything you want to kind of? We got about 7 minutes here. You want to kind of? I don't know if you want to add anything else on that, on the situation or what.
Well, you know, one other thing I'd just like to add to that particular story. You know, I was talking about getting guns off the streets, and we here in America has got to do something to outlaw guns. Guns. I don't think anybody should have them. The gun that the killer used, you can actually go online, and anybody in America can go online and order that gun and have it delivered to their home. That's pretty scary, in my opinion. We've got to do something about that here in America.
Agreed.
Yeah, agreed as well.
I hate to get into politics, but that's my 2 cents on that.
Yeah, that's just something that, there's – we'll be here all night talking about a couple things as far as that, Rob, too. But I like how you were short succinct with that point as well. Maybe we'll continue on as we are discussing this topic and as we get more details about everything that's happening as well. Let's talk about the NFL and some discipline that's not going to happen to LeSean McCoy over the nightclub incident. Like I said, do you want to kind of kick this off, JQ, or what? Anything you want to talk about as far as this from that vantage point?
Well, yeah, and I mean, you knew it kind of was in trouble with how slow Philadelphia, the prosecutor's office was dragging their feet out about charging. That let me know that was the problem to begin with. I think, you know, it's just him always being in the news, talking and being in the center of something that allowed that a rush to judgment that we just believed that he did it. And I've read other reports where it was the off-duty cop that took their bottle of champagne that led to it, and then he actually didn't hit anybody. He tried, but he got pulled out of there before he got into physical activity. I don't know if that's the accurate one, but it's an alternate report I heard to what, you know, them just beating the cops down for, you know, for the champagne that they stole from the cops. So it's just, you know, again, rush of judgment on our part. We're so quick to, you know, have somebody be guilty before we get all the facts. But I think it's also a part of LeSean McCoy's profile, and he's been in so much stuff, not necessarily, you know, to this level, but it's always him talking about Chip or this, that, and the other, or, you know, having crazy club nights, you know, like Eyes Wide Shut and all that other crazy, you know, he's just out there. So, dude, get on Tinder, get your homeboys to go to the club, bring the chicks back to the house, get a DJ and some drinks, and just have a party in the man cave. And leave it alone, you know. Just it ain't nothing out there in the club for you at 28 than it was for you at 21, bro. Go to the crib, relax.
Rob Ford.
Well, I mean, the gist of the story is it seems as though they really couldn't find enough evidence on the situation, and the NFL couldn't find enough evidence on the situation either. And that's why they choose to, surprisingly, the NFL usually creates evidence to charge somebody with something, typically.
Mm-mm.
But
Mm-mm.
but they didn't find enough evidence. And, yeah, you know Roger Goodell, he come up with something, man. but they couldn't find enough evidence, and that's what the NFL decided not to penalize them anything going forward. But yeah, you know, for just a nice change for the NFL.
That train is never late. That 3:10 in Yuma is on time.
I feel like this is Robin Ford's not here. Do you want to talk about Keenan Lewis and playing that to New Orleans real quick, Rob?
Yeah, I guess we're kind of getting back on that again. And well, you know, Keenan Lewis, obviously, is cornerback for the Saints, and J.K., you probably know him too. He used to be the cornerback for the Steelers, going against your arch rival Bengals for quite a few years. Keenan Lewis is a born and raised in New Orleans, went to public school in New Orleans. So he's a New Orleanian. So obviously this is a moment where he's kind of crying out for the city. Would you say that, J.Q.?
I said that's what's wrong with him, man, huh?
Oh. Oh, man.
I'm sorry. My bad.
But he basically pleading. Now, obviously, as I mentioned earlier, the city is still mourning this senseless killing. And for all the great things that New Orleans has offered, New Orleans is a city with lots of culture, a lot of flavor, a lot of character. And as I mentioned, we just had an amazing French Quarter Festival here with probably about 400,000 people in town, an incredible weekend. But for all the great things that New Orleans has to offer, there's still a crime problem in our inner city. And even where that murder took place, it was and not the best of neighborhoods, by the way. And so you almost have to be curious why Will Smith was even in that area. But obviously we don't want to, you know, pass any kind of judgments or anything like that. But yeah, this is one of Keenan Lewis crying out for New Orleans. Inner city needs to get its act together. And it's not just a problem in New Orleans. It's a problem in lots of inner cities across America. And you hate to see, like I said, I don't like to get into politics and talking race, but you just hate to see these black-on-black crimes happening in, not only in my city, but in cities across the country.
Rob, we got to go ahead and do, we got about a minute 15. Go ahead and set up for the OT portion, and we'll get this the train going, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, we still got more to cover, so you definitely want to tune into this OT portion. We cannot give it to you live. We still got more football to talk about in the OT portion, so you definitely want to click on this same link. I think we still got some college football to talk about. We still may have some NFL draft to talk about here in our OT portion, so if you're interested in hearing what some of your teams may be doing, make sure you click on this same link and get the same information on tomorrow. Let us know on Twitter if you like the show or you disagree with what we're saying, you agree with what we're saying. Definitely give us some feedback on Twitter and Facebook. And next week we're going to be on Wednesday night, which I believe is the 20th. Hopefully I'm giving the right date. It's going to be Wednesday night, April 20th, next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. for our good friends in California. And aloha to our friends in Hawaii. That will be 5 p.m. for you all. Good night, people.
Take care.
Touchdown in 3 months, San Diego. All-Star weekend. Let's do it. Good night, y'all.
I love it. I love it.
Man, the season just started.
Hey, man, I had to go ahead and get, I had to get my ticket while the ticket while the price was still good.
You said 3 weeks or 3 months?
I said 3 months, didn't I?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. It sounded like I thought you said 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wait a minute.
I might have
said
3 weeks. Well, my bad, y'all. Yeah, no, they're going to be that soon, y'all. I'll just be tripping. I'll be here in 3 weeks. 3 months. My bad. If I said 3 weeks, I meant 3 months.
Yeah, you're good, man. All right, so we're in the OT portion, as always. Let's talk about some things here moving pretty quickly. Do you want to say anything else, JQ, about Keenan Lewis there?
No, you know, I was just giving him some ribbon because he's a former Steeler. But, I mean, yeah, I love, and not to get, you know, all that soapbox either, that these athletes have such a platform, given their status in the community, to come out and do these kinds of things. And I just wish they would do it more often, when tragedy hits, but just day in and day out. To help lift some of these kids and this youth that are here that don't have a father figure or a stable home life and look up to them and kind of, you know, be that lending hand back to them. So I give them credit for it. I just wish it happened more often and not just in the face of tragedy.
Good deal. So found out the NCAA is actually capping the number of bowl games until 2019. What's this about, Rob? We need details about that.
Thank you.
Yeah, man, this is something that's long overdue, man. No more of the Poland Weed Eater Bowls.
Right.
The Toyota Sunsetter Bowl and the Poinsettia Bowl and all that kind of stuff. Let's put a cap on this, man. We got last year, if I'm not mistaken, we had about 4-6 teams with 5-7 records going to a bowl game.
Yep.
I mean, come on. I mean, I know we're setting a cap on bowls, but I actually think we need to get rid of some of the bowls. Personally, that's just my personal opinion. I think it's way too many. We're rewarding mediocrity in college football, and let's get rid of some of these bowls. Not only cap it, but let's get rid of some too.
Not seems like this is like the persist. Yeah,
I know it's a moneymaker. I know it's not going to happen.
Sir.
I know it's a moneymaker, but
I was going to say no, sir.
The Mama Bowl is about to come out too, man. It's saying, go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, it's really out of hand, you know, and it's gonna be the Varsity Bowl in Macon or something crazy. But you know, it's just too many, and yeah, when you get to the point where you got like 5 or 7 teams in there, you took the phrase I was gonna use, Rob. You know, it's rewarding mediocrity. You know, kind of like Cincinnati giving Marvin Lewis a contract extension. It's that kind of things that happen when we just don't understand.
Well,
there you go, Les Miles. So I don't get it. I feel bad for the South Carolina series. I think it was either Myrtle Beach or Charleston was trying to get a bowl game. But, yeah, there's just not a good enough teams. And unless you're going to make it one of them to an invitational where, like, one of the one, you know, double-A teams that got knocked out of the playoffs early faces one of those 6-6 teams just to get a one versus one double-A matchup, I would be okay with that. But just playing another bad team from another big conference, please no. Please no. And I love bowl season. We all love bowl season. But it's just so out of hand.
Love it. I love it, man. Let's talk about this too, because you know, I can continue to talk about the number of bowls and whatnot, because I remember whenever we had last year whenever we had all the bowls, that was hilarious, man. We were kind of counting off all the bowls and we had like 20 something things on there, so yeah, this will be good, man. But I don't know how far this is gonna last, because as you said, it's a moneymaker. I just don't Something is they're going to figure out another way how to turn it into some money, some way or somehow. Something's going to happen. So I don't think we've seen the last of it, but that's just kind of my, you know, thoughts on, because it's too much of a moneymaker here from that vantage point as well. I'm going to leave this in JQ's hands right here. Urban Meyer, your boy, he blasted NCAA about the new text message rule. So, JQ, the floor is yours. What were your thoughts here, sir?
I wish he hadn't got involved and said anything, because to a point I get what he's saying, is that a kid doesn't want to come out of school for the day and have 500 text messages, you know, from schools trying to recruit to him. But that being said, I think that a lot of that is damn. That means that if I got a committed recruiter to Ohio State, you can keep texting the hell out of him trying to swing his change his vote, you know, his letter of intent. And I think that's really what it comes down to, and that's why I was like, huh. I can't really defend you on this one right now, Urban, because that I know that's really what you're talking about. You don't care that dude's getting 500 texts a day. They was all come from Ohio State. But, you know, if you got a dude to compete with somebody against Langley, Michigan, or it's already Ohio State commit, you don't want him to be bombarded day in and day out with somebody that could potentially change his mind. And I think that's ultimately why he's blasting the rule.
Yeah, what do you think about that, Rob?
Well, I agree with JQ here. I still think, regardless, it's still an even game. I mean, other schools will be able to continue to text message these players, but also Ohio State will be able to continue to text message these players. So I think the level field, the field is still even, and I don't think it's going to be something that's going to hurt Ohio State. And I think what he's basically saying, if a kid eliminates Baylor, for example, and, you know, why should a kid continue to receive text messages from Baylor? And he should only be receiving text messages from the schools that's still in the running for the player. And I think that's where he's going. But this, it could work for Ohio State. It could be an advantage for him, but it could also be a disadvantage for him. But it could be an advantage or a disadvantage for every school. And so I agree that Urban Meyer probably should have just kept his mouth closed on it. I mean, every school will have the same advantages and disadvantages.
Yeah.
Why don't you take this phone? Take this phone that has some prepackaged minutes for you from Ohio State. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I mean, he's clowning. That's all just like, oh, come on, man. You just giving them ammunition to use against you, bro. Just go sit down.
Yeah. I can't believe we're in an era now where we're getting text messages. This is so hilarious to me. Go ahead, Rob. You about to say something, sir. Go ahead.
Ohio State's going to get the players. They're going to get most of the players that they want anyway.
Yeah.
So he shouldn't be the one worried about this.
It's Nick Saban. I don't care what he say. It's Nick Saban and Jim Harbaugh still, you know, messaging that five-star defensive tackle recruit that he wants or has committed. Like, damn, they're going to keep messing with him. They're going to swing it. That's what it's really about. It's not about, you know, lose to Illinois. It's about Michigan, maybe Michigan State, and probably, really being honest, Alabama.
Yeah. Mm. You know, Ohio State, their own state produces a lot of good football talent. So they still going to get most of those good players out of Ohio. They're going to get some out of Pennsylvania, and they're going to steal some out of Georgia and Florida. I mean, they're still going to do what they always do from a recruiting standpoint, and even maybe a few out of Texas. I don't think anything is going to change with this text messaging rule.
Yeah, I agree. All right, gentlemen, 8 minutes.
Oh,
that means
don't
we get
do
8 minutes.
Me.
What? What's that? Don't do what? 8 minutes here. NFL mock draft coverage. Rob, you said 16 days. We are right on par for this. Let's talk about this. And also, really quickly, if we have some time before we talk about this, actually, any thoughts about the sudden retirement of DeBrickashaw Ferguson? That just kind of like a shock. And then, you know, I didn't think that was actually happening. And then he does that. And then the Jets immediately made a move, get Ryan Clady from Denver. That was pretty interesting as well. And then, just, I don't know if you guys want to kind of comment on that. I don't know if you guys want to have anything to say about that. I don't know if you want to say something about that, JQ. That was just kind of a flurry of activity, like, just happened just last week. No? JQ? He's not? Rob? You still with me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I don't know what happened to JQ. Okay. Go ahead. You want to comment on that?
Lose.
I don't know what happened to JQ.
Well, I mean, obviously the Jets the Jets made a move here, and I think there was some talk about DeBrickashaw Ferguson quietly behind the scenes looking to move on, and I think the Jets were trying to convince him to continue to play. But he's 32 years old. He's a three-time Pro Bowler and, you know, had a phenomenal career. But I think Clady will kind of fill in the gap there. I don't think they'll miss too much of a beat along the offensive line. At some point, they're going to have to get a little bit younger at that position. I don't think they addressed that position in the first or second round in this draft, but maybe in the middle rounds, and maybe look to get an early round pick in that area next year.
Gotcha. Man, all right, so it looks like JQ did drop for some reason. So being this back to the old times here, I don't know unless JQ calls back in. But let's talk about some NFL mock draft, Rob. Floor is yours, man. I'm excited to hear. Did you put another mock draft up, or just kind of like talk about some things, or what?
Yeah, I have an updated mock, but I haven't posted it yet, so I'll get that up to our listeners. So if you take a, you know, sometime tomorrow or Wednesday, our listeners, you should be able to see it. Talking Sports on the 12th Man Facebook page, you get to see. I have an updated mock, first and second round. I'll start with our favorite teams first, and then I'll go over some of the teams is going to be picking 21 through 25, and we kind of been going over that. I'll start with your Atlanta Falcons first here. Number 17, I have them taking Eli Apple, cornerback from Ohio State. The guy's got great length, good length and size in the first round. And in the second round here, I have the Falcons taking Joshua Garnett, offensive guard from Stanford. My New Orleans Saints, first round, I have them taking Shaq Lawson, defensive end from Clemson. And
boom.
In the second round, I have them taking second round, I have the Saints taking a defensive tackle. They go defensive line again to get the end of the first round, to get a tackle in the second round. Austin Johnson, defensive tackle for Penn State. Got to beef up that front seven for the New Orleans Saints, particularly that front four. They've kind of addressed the linebacker position quite a bit in free agency. And JQ, we know he's fell off the call here. First round, Kevin Dodd, defensive end, outside linebacker from Clemson at number 24. And in the second round, I have him taking cornerback Virginia Tech, Kendall Fuller, who I think could be a steal coming off an injury in this draft. And real quick, I'll go over some of the teams, 21 through 25. We did just cover Cincinnati. I'll start with the Washington Redskins at 21. I have them taking Vernon Butler, defensive tackle, Louisiana Tech. Defensive tackle, defensive end, and offensive tackle, in my opinion, the three best positions in this draft. And Vernon Butler, if you haven't heard of this kid, he's a pass rushing defensive tackle. He'll be able to get you probably about 6 or 7 sacks from the defensive tackle position throughout probably the first 5 or 6 years of his career. Defensive tackle for Louisiana Tech at the number 21. Spot for the Washington Redskins. And also number 22, I have Houston take Emmanuel Ogbah, defensive end, Oklahoma State. Tremendous athlete, tremendous potential. Pairing him with J.J. Watt could be nightmares for offenses. Second round, I have Houston taking Darian Thompson, safety from Boise State. Let's see, 23, Minnesota, Taylor Decker, offensive tackle, Ohio State, a guy J.Q. is familiar with. Minnesota, you look at their defense, they don't really have many weaknesses on that defense, but they still have a lot of weaknesses on that offensive line. So Taylor Decker could be a nice pickup for them. I have them taking Braxton Miller, wide receiver, Ohio State, in the second round. And the last team we're going to cover, Andrew Billings, defensive tackle from Baylor. Perfect nose tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers, 3-4 defense at number 25. Pittsburgh lost their starting defensive tackle from last year, McClendon, who signed with the Jets. So they're going to need to replace him. And Pittsburgh also, their secondary is decimated, and they need help in that area. Xavier Howard, cornerback from Baylor, sound technician, has him getting him in the second round. So I don't think anything else you want to add to that, Andre, or any questions about any other players, feel free to go right at it.
Yeah, now, like I said, you know I'm just joking when I boo you, man, because I always give you a lot of props for putting together mock drafts, because it's just fantastic, the fact that you do a lot of the research, Rob. So once again, much props to you. I was booing the fact because, you know, I'm curious about why you picked Eli Apple for us. Is it because of the suspension for Jalen Collins, or is that kind of where you're thinking about that, or why did you go that for the Falcons?
Well,
are you just kind of thinking best of player, or what? Yeah, go ahead.
That, and also, you know, getting inside information from the Falcons, they're still a little down on Robert Alford, the cornerback from Southeastern Louisiana.
Yeah.
I mean, they're very high on Trufant, and he had a phenomenal year last season. But I think they're going to need some additional depth at the cornerback position. It's one of those things, if you're the Falcons, it's a position you're going to have to consider. Obviously,
mm-hmm.
you're going to consider outside linebacker, defensive end, and you got to just kind of see who's the best available player at any of those positions when it's time for you to pick. You know, obviously in this case, you know, you would like a Darren Lee to fall to you. I have him going 14 to Oakland. You probably would like a Shaq Lawson, possibly. I have him going 12 to the Saints.
Sure.
You can consider Emmanuel Ogbah, 17. I have him going 22. So, I mean, so you can possibly look at taking him at 17 or even taking the Kevin Dodd, who I have going 24 to Cincinnati as well.
Yeah, I love it. Like I said, we'll continue this, Rob, because unfortunately, I got some more questions for you. So maybe we'll leave some time next week as far as that. So go ahead and wrap us up. We got a minute before wrapping this edition, and go ahead and do your thing, sir. I appreciate it.
Once again, we had a great show. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll be back on next Wednesday, people. Next Wednesday night, April 28th, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. For our friends in Hawaii, aloha, 5 p.m. Good night, people. We'll get you ready for the NBA playoffs next week.
brings back old times, man. Just me and Rob kicking it. But, you know, obviously a lot of love for JQ too as well. But so we appreciate that. And then, like you said, next week we'll definitely keep everything happening. We're definitely right in the middle of counting down the days for the NFL mock draft. So we'll ask you some more questions. I'm going to quiz Rob about that if the mock draft changes as well. See you next week, Rob.